In the name of God, the compassionate and the merciful, I would like to welcome you, the honorable friends, the elite, and the experts, clergymen, the virtuous representative of the people. I would like to thank you for your hard effort during the past 2 days in your session. And also, I would like to thank the speaker of the Assembly of the Experts of Leadership, of the Leadership Expert Assembly. And also, I would like to thank Mr. Shahradi for his remarks. In the first place, I would like to condole with you on the loss of the martyr Alim, which was a great loss for Kurdistan and for us. I would like to congratulate you for his martyrdom and condole with you both. To you, I would like to condole with you, with the Kurdish people and with the entire people of Iran and those who are interested in unity in the country. It is one example of the crimes whose strings are controlled, pulled outside Iran, and the intelligence services that have established themselves in occupied in Iraq are the planners of these tragedies and crimes. Of course, it was a great loss for us without any doubt, but at the same time, the objective of the enemy in martyring a martyr, Mamusta Mullah Muhammad, Sheikh al-Islam, definitely will not be fulfilled. Terrorism has not been able and will not be able to blow any deal on the revolution. On the contrary, wherever a blood is shed by the enemy, the bloody flag is hoisted by others. Here it applies to this situation too. Without any doubt, this young Sunni scholars and the Kurdish people and the Sunni ulema in Kurdistan and other places will definitely follow and go down the path of the same martyrs with more enthusiasm. And the role of good brother in Kurdistan was clear to me. I went there in my trip to Kurdistan and I observed his role. He was a very important person in creating unity, preserving unity, and in promotion of the Islamic ideas and ideals. And very seriously, he was committed to Islam And without any doubt, he promoted these values among the young scholars and will be promoted among the young scholars and seminary students. The enemy must bear in mind that this crime will not fulfill its objectives. And others should also know that enemy, its animosity, doesn't make any distinction between the Persians, the Kurds, the Baluch, the Sunnis, and the Shias. Anybody who is committed to unity and to the principles of the system receives the hostility and animosity of the enemies, regardless of their affiliation, religious affiliation, and ethnic affiliation. The second point I would like to mention is the matchless advantage of the assembly of the leadership expert is that in this assembly, the members focus on the concerns of Islam and revolution. In this assembly, which has a matchless advantage or characteristic, the political permutations are not strong, and thus far it has been so, and with the grace of God in the future, the political permutation and differences will not dominate the system as a the assembly. As a result, the assembly is very respectful among the people, and you see that the enemies too have directed the animosity against this assembly. And at every stage of time, they show the animosity in a different form. So the assembly is trusted by the people. They feel that the representatives who have been elected, and all of them are clerics, and they are experts of religion, in this assembly are thinking about the fundamental problems of Islam and the Muslims and the Iranian society and the basic problems of the country, personal, political, factional issues do not have any place in decision-making, in their decision-makings and in the remarks and comments. It's very important. And it is a sin for defending the principles, defending the values. There are different tastes and, let's say, trends, but that's the focus, what I mentioned, and I hope it will continue very firmly and strongly. And the next point is that I would like to submit that confrontation against the system has a 30 years story history. There have been different kinds of confrontation, but it has been there, and it depends upon our situation in the country. Whenever they felt that they can be stronger, or they can have a stronger presence, then they in fact inflicted their blow. And the revolution during these 30 years have stood against those laws. And not only the revolution has and the Islamic revolution and system have not been weakened, but have been strengthened during the year, these years. But there is a point that I would like to mention. The more we have been able to strengthen our roots and go forward and just make our works more sophisticated, then the plots of the enemy have become more complicated. We must be careful about it. It is true that we have the experience of surmounting the challenges imposed on us during the 30 years. The experience of the Islamic revolution is the experience of surmounting the animosities and challenges and hostilities. That we must be careful as was mentioned, that the enemy is wakeful. And the news that we receive from sensitive political and security systems in the world, it shows that very great systems with huge budgets are permanently paying attention to the Islamic Republic of Iran with their incentives, which are clear for us. They are busy, and every day they prepare a new plan. And they create a new sin every day against the Islamic Republic of Iran, and it will continue until they become disappointed when the system of the Islamic Revolution of Iran achieves certain criteria and standards in political, economic, security, scientific, ethical fields. Then they will continue. Unless we reach those standards, these plots will continue. When we reach those standards, then the enemy will be disappointed, and we realize the and will accept the reality. Today, the plot is very complicated. Well, we must know different dimensions of this plot clearly, and we must give knowledge or information about these dimensions to others. Today, the military attack against us is not much probable. It is not absolutely unlikely, but it is not much likely. But the war which is going on, if not more dangerous than military war, then it requires as much precaution on our side. In the military war, the enemy goes to our border trenches, our border centers, and tries to destroy them in order to penetrate into the border. In the psychological war and in a soft war, the enemy attacks the spiritual trenches in order to destroy them. It attacks the faith, the determinations, the knowledges, the fundamental pillars of the system and the country in order to destroy them. In order to also transform the strong points into weak points, and also in order to change the opportunities into threats. These are what they are doing, and they have experience, and they have different means at their disposals. We must know the plots of the enemy and its and their dimensions in order to be able to surmount them. We have, without any doubt, the divine support. We are observing it. But so long as we are not wakeful in the scene and we don't use the necessary deliberation, then the divine support will not come to us. There are certain lines or trends that they are following, our enemies, I mean, the enemies of the revolution, the enemies of the system of the Islamic Republic. They are following certain lines, which is clear in their propaganda and in their measures. These are not something hidden. These are not covert. So we have to have a clear picture of all of them. One of them is, they are trying to undermine the signs of hope. One of them was election. The 85% participation of the people in the election or the turnout is something encouraging. You know, 30 years after the revolution, the people vote to the system in a huge turnout. It is nothing except because of their confidence and attachment to this system. And it happened. Or they just elect a president with a high turnout. It is unprecedented, but it happened. It happened in our country. It is a very strong point. So they tried to change this strong point into a weak point, to turn the point of hope into a point of doubt and disappointment. So it is a hostile measure. In the country, there are many points of hope. We have a very firm infrastructure in the country. Great measures have been taken during these years, and today the country is ready for a mutation, for a great step forward. The scientific progress is very high, very outstanding in our country. In fact, the scientists of other countries who do not have political incentive confess to this point. You just observe one of these in a TV report last night about the stem cells. They have confessed the fact that they couldn't believe that Iran has progressed that much. One of the participants said that last year I participated in the conference, and this year also I participated. The progress has been huge. This is one example. We have tens of these examples, which are the progress, the scientific progress. And the 30 years experience is in our backpack. So the energetic, educated, enthusiastic youth is also another point for our hope, and it's a strong point. The youth who is educated is confident, has self-confidence, and feels that can improve the situation in the country. And also we have a vision that is long-term vision, which has depicted the long-term development plan. It is very important. And we have set the goals for 25 years from now on. These are the points for hope. So, but they want to change these points into disappointment. Regarding the vision, when it is said, then we say we have a vision document. They say it has not been taken into consideration. When we say scientific progress, they say it is not important. When you speak about the youth, they say the offenses of some youth. So on one side, of course. So these are the summits, the peaks, which are very encouraging, but they try to underestimate them. And on the other side, they try to highlight the weak points, the small weak points which exist. I don't say small weak points. Yes, there are weak points, but they try to aggrandize them to, in fact, show them as huge problems. So they try to depict a dark picture of the system. They try to spread pessimistic about the system, pessimistic approach to the system. So they want, in fact, to inculcate disappointment to the society. When disappointment infiltrates the society, then dynamism will go away. Then the innovative people and the elite will be isolated, and they will lose their hope. They won't indulge in hard work. Their participation will decline. Dynamism will go away. This is one of the lines of the enemy. And they continuously speak of a deadlock. If you look at the propagation or propaganda of the radios, once we used to say tens of radios, today we can speak of thousands of radios, TVs, internet sites. They try to inculcate into the mind of the people that there is a deadlock, the situation is dark, and so on. As much as they can influence the viewers and the listeners then they don't spare any effort in this regard. They are working on this line. This is one of their lines. Another fundamental line of the enemy is disunity. That you mentioned and emphasized on unity, and in the report also it has come. And also in the final statement of the experts assembly, you have paid attention to it. It is very important issue. The unity of the nation and the efforts in order to create discord among the nation. Well, the signs of public unity are seen by us. If you look at the Friday prayers in the month of Ramadan and on the Quds Day and the Eid al-Fitr, you just watched the Eid al-Fitr prayers, not only in Tehran, in Mashhad, in Isfahan, in Kerman, in Tabriz, in almost all places, these are unique scenes. Perhaps in the history of Islam, the Eid al-Fitr prayers has never been held with this splendor and glory in different parts of a country, not only in one city. So these are all signs of unity, signs of sympathy among the people. It shows that there is a common center around which the people, despite their minor differences, are united, and they are united regarding that principle or center, which is religion and the Islamic principles and the sublime values. It is the religion of God indeed. It's very important. Well, all should surrender to the unity. When they say the unity, then see the unity, they have to surrender. But unfortunately, it is to the contrary. Some people speak of disunity out of ignorance. Definitely, it is because of the ignorance, more than being because of anything else. It is very important issue, there is unity. Religious, national, ethnic, unity and unity among different political factions. So this is one of the lines of the enemy, to create discord among the nation. Wherever, whenever, at any level they can, they try to create disunity among the officials, among the people, between the clerics, between the university staff, between the communities and other social groups, between the religious sects, and so on. So you can observe the efforts. So this is another line of the enemy, trying to create disunity among the nation. The third issue is another line they are following. And in fact, investing on it, it is to divert the attentions from the animosity of the enemy. We never deny the fact that we have different shortcomings and problems in the society, and we have persons to blame, and also we have domestic problems, and the cause of these problems are domestic without any doubt. The Holy Quran also states that if the enemy deals a blow on us and it is effective, it is because of our own self problems. In the Uhud battle, the enemy attacked, the enemy dealt a blow, but the Muslims indeed received the blow from themselves, because of themselves indeed. But the point is, if man doesn't want to be striken, then should see the role of the enemy. One of the requirements for paying attention to prevent the attack of the enemy is to see the role of the enemy. So we should not ignore it. You know, the line to ignore, particularly the special figures, the elite, it is one of the lines of the enemy. They must be careful about it. There are different methods in this regard. As soon as someone says enemy, then they would say, why do you blame the enemy? Well, it is there. Why don't we see the enemy? Why don't we see the joy of the enemy of what is going on inside Iran regarding the disunity and the riots after the revolution? They encourage some people over there. The chief of a great country mentions the names. Well, it's creating animosity. They mention the opposition figures. They praise so-and-so person, saying his courage astonished us. Why? Because he has said something that they liked. So we must be careful and pay attention to these issues. We must not ignore the animosity of the enemy. Well, the animosity of the enemy is not out of expectation. Our ignorance is not it's something out of expectation. The British government that has a 200 years record of presence in our country, which is really a dark record. And there is not a single point showing that the British government has taken a step in the interest of the Iranian nation. Whatever steps they have taken has been to the detriment of the Iranian nation, and they have dealt a great loss. But they announce that we are supporters of the nation of Iran. The U.S. administration announces that we are supporters of the Iranian nation, but not with the government. Well, the people are part of this system. The system is not separate from the people. So these are the plots of the enemy. We must be careful about it. You know, the animosity of the enemy is quite natural. But when we don't understand that it is animosity and we ignore the animosity of the enemy, then it is not acceptable. You know, sometimes we will be located in the puzzles of the enemy if we don't understand the animosity. So they just set up a puzzle in order to just create a figure, and we'll be one part of that figure. It's very bad. We must be trying not to be a part of the enemy's puzzle. You know, it's just like the crosswords. So the enemy has created a crossword in order to create some words, and then we should not be some letters of that word. We should not be completing the puzzle of the enemy. We must see what the enemy is doing and what it's going to do, and we should realize its objectives and its clear presence. Today, the most effective international weapon against the opposition is propagation and communications. Media communication is the strongest weapon. It is more dangerous than atom bomb. So this is the enemy's weapon. Didn't you see this weapon in the riots after the revolution? Every moment the enemy was following up our the issues in Iran and was giving messages to the opposition, to their friends. This is the presence of the enemy. Is there anything more clearer than this? Well, we need insight. The elites are expected, and also the political currents and parties are expected to deal with the enemy's plots with insight. If insight and determination to confront the enemy is there, then our behaviors will change. Then the situation will be better. There are some measures which are taken out of ignorance and lack of knowledge. Well, if in our statements and in our practice, we must calculate these trends. When we want to make a statement, we have to make it on the basis of these issues. When we want to take any action, it should be based on these measures. Whether we help the enemy or not, it's very important. This was another point. Now, the fourth point is the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is based on Islamic Revolution, is a unit that has two dimensions, that is Islamic dimension and popular dimension. It is popular because it is Islamic, because Islam is the religion of the society, of the public responsibility. It is not merely the religion of every individual. It is, but individuals also are addressed as members of the community and society. Islam is a popular religion. It is a public religion. Therefore, being popular stems from being Islamic. It is Islamic because God the Almighty has beneficed the people to grant them faith and to guide us. And we have been guided by God. And we have been guided to this religion, and our public want Islam, this divine religion. God has given us this religion, and therefore, our system is Islamic Republic. It is a whole with different dimensions, and the dimensions should be taken into consideration together. This intertwinement must be preserved. If any dimension is weakened, then the totality is weakened. The issue of wilaya is attachment to this totality, whether the wilaya of the infallible imams or wilaya of faqih, of jurisprudence, which is the continuation of the wilaya of infallible imams, is also commitment to this totality and its preservation. And there shouldn't be any diversion and no discrimination is created, and this totality goes ahead. And the genuine Islam, which we come across in Imam's statements, refer to this fact. The Imam said, genuine Islam vis-a-vis the American Islam. The American Islam is not merely something which is liked by the United States. Anything which is out of genuine Islam, the royal Islam, the eclectic Islam, and the capitalist Islam, and the socialist Islam, are out of the perimeters of genuine Islam. Any Islam with any color without the genuine elements are against the genuine Islam. It is American Islam, and you see that in these confrontations against the system during these 30 years, different Islams have been there, eclectic Islam, royal Islam, socialist Islam have been there. Different kinds of Islam have been there in confrontation against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Well, in this approach to Islam and understanding of Islam, individual and society are taken into consideration together. Spirituality and justice, Sharia and rationality are just together. Then emotion and firmness are on the side of each other. Firmness and emotions in their own places. Sharia in its place, rationality in its place, which is not out of perimeters of Sharia. And all together must be used. And any diversion from these totality, firm totality, will lead to deviation from the Islamic system. The next point is that not only we need courage in practice, we need courage in understanding, in comprehension, in jurisprudential comprehension, we need courage. If courage is not there or wasn't there, even there will be some problem in understanding. Clear understanding of the parameters and premises. Sometimes we understand the general parameters, but we commit mistake in particular principles. And so proper understanding of the fundamentals of religion and religious issues and the other subjects, proper understanding of these requires courage. We should not be coward, otherwise fear of our wealth, our life, our, let's say, honor and dignity and passiveness against the enemy and fear of the atmosphere and environment. If we say so, they'll be against us. If we say so, then they will just give some label to us and so on. So the fear undermines our understanding, and sometimes because of these considerations, we don't understand the problem itself, and we cannot solve it therefore. So we will commit mistakes. Hence, the Holy Quran's verse, وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَا أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ, it's very important. الَّذِينَ يُبَلَّغُونَ رِسَالَةُ اللَّهِ لِيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهَ حَسِيبًا. So it is clear that the condition for propagation is not to fear anybody except God. Well, when we say that if I do something, then we may be cheated in this world, we should remember kafa billahi hasiba, let God calculate for you. And if the people's judgment is just replaced with the divine judgment, or fear of the people's judgment is replaced with the fear of God's judgment, then we'll commit mistake. Then we will lose our virtue, our righteousness. And then we will not be able to find Furqan that God has mentioned. That is, Furqan here is means making distinction between truth and falsehood. Well, it is very important. It is, you know, fearing a loss of life, wealth, and then accusations and slandering is very important. If God Almighty says, addressing the Prophet, says, don't fear those who say something against you, and then only fear God, do not fear the people. This is what God addressing Prophet Muhammad says. So if you just are fearful of what the people say, what the accusation they charge against you, then you cannot discharge your duties. In my opinion, one of the points that led to different victories for Imam Khomeini was his courage. He had different achievements in political, scientific, social scenes, and then the people become enchanted with him or to him. So it was really something strange. It was because his courage, because he did not take anything other than God into consideration. I hope God will grant success to all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.